We're starting this morning a new series, if you like, just looking at the story of the shepherds and the angels, and just looking at themes that come out of that. And we're going to be looking at this morning a time for change, and we're going to look at a time for joy, a time for salvation, a time for peace. All those things that come out of this wonderful chapter in God's unfolding plan for his world. So this morning, we're going to look at a time for change, if you like, before and after. Before and after. I tried a new thing this week. When I was thinking about before and after, I thought, I'm going to type it into the Google in my computer and just see what comes up. So the computer was there in front of me. I typed in before and after, pressed the button, and then all this before and after stuff. Obviously, there's lots of before and after on the internet. Some of it was quite interesting. Some of it was a bit scary. And here was the most, if you like, popular things on before and after. Weight loss. That was a big thing there. Before and after. Then you got pictures of fat people becoming stick insects. There was a lot of that. Plastic surgery, which I won't go into in church. Muscle gain. There was a lot of before and after with muscle gain. Look at how I am now after I've been in the gym following Arnold Schwarzenegger. And actually, there were pictures of before and after with Arnold Schwarzenegger that weren't particularly good, actually. And then there were natural disasters before and after. There's quite a bit of that. And celebrities before and after. That was the main things that came up when I just typed this stuff into the computer and said, show me what you've got. What do people think of? What are they looking for in before and after? And I looked at all those things and I thought, the thing that strikes me about them all is that they seem to be about external things. They were about external things. They're about appearance. What things look like. What's going on in the outside. And you see, this story today about the shepherds and the angels, that's kind of a before and after story. Before, verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. That's the before. Shepherds in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. So then we go to the after. That's verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. And so I've been thinking about this before and after with regard to the shepherds. And if I compare it to the stuff that I got when I Googled that on the internet, it actually looks very different. Well, I think it does anyway. You see, if you'd have taken photographs of the shepherds before and then taken photographs of the shepherds afterwards, well, there wouldn't have been any difference. I mean, they would still have looked the same. They'd have still been wearing the same clothes and probably weighed the same. They certainly wouldn't have put on muscle overnight. The photos would have looked the same. The same guys doing the same job. But the thing is, something had changed. They weren't the same. See, something had changed on the inside. And I reckon it's the inner person that really counts. It's not about the job we do, or the position we have, or the possessions we have. What's really important about us at the end of the day, I think, is the inner person, who we really are inside. Some of you will know that I spent 3 years with my family in Africa, in Tanzania. And I never forget the time that we left there. Because we'd been out to visit a village, and I remember this image in my head of this sort of old guy dressed in rags, old African chap, dressed in rags, out sitting on a kind of makeshift seat outside his mud hut, which really was made of mud and straw. As I left the village, I said to him, "Kwaheri," which means goodbye in Swahili. And I got the biggest toothless grin you ever did see off this guy who had absolutely nothing. Then I remember coming back to beautiful Bath. And within the first couple of days, I was walking into town, and there was a kind of traffic jam going in. And I heard this great big honking noise as I was crossing the road. And there was a kind of fat middle-aged businessman sitting in a brand new Jag. And I looked at his face, and he just looked as miserable as a person could possibly be. And I was thinking, the last thing I saw when I left Africa was this toothless beggar sitting outside a mud hut, giving me this toothless grin. And the first thing, one of the first things I came across when I came back to beautiful Bath, was this guy who'd made it in business, driving a new Jag, looking as miserable as sin, don't they? But just looking miserable. I think it's what goes on in the inside that's the important thing. John Lennon actually once wrote a song, and I know the words are quite... He said, "The one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside." Which is, it's quite a profound thing, isn't it? It's what goes on in the inside. And for those shepherds on that first Christmas, something changed. And of course, that is why Jesus came. He came to change things. Well, he came to change people, didn't he? And we're looking this morning at Christmas as a time for change. See, but the problem is that the kind of change that most of society is looking for today, I think as they were then actually, is if you said to people in Bristol, "Does this country need to change?" You know, you'd have no shortage of people saying it needs to change. And of course, you know, we've seen a lot of that on the news recently. I'm not judging that, I'm just saying that there's a general opinion that something needs to change. If not in society, certainly in the world. There needs to be a change in government. Or there needs to be a change in working conditions. There needs to be a change in the NHS. There needs to be a change in this, a change in that. A change in the economy. Everyone would agree with that one, wouldn't they? Something's got to change. Pick up any newspaper, and to me, it just screams out, we live in a world that needs to change. Something's got to change. And if I think about Jesus, of course, when he was grown up and a man riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and people were shouting Hosanna and putting palm leaves in front of the donkey, a lot of people thought that Jesus was going to bring about change. And quite a few of them would have thought that Jesus was going to bring about political change. What I mean by that is they were looking to Jesus as to be the kind of Messiah who was going to release them from the tyranny of Roman rule. That was certainly in a lot of people's thoughts when they welcomed him into the city on that day, all those years later. But that didn't appear to be what he did. And they were disappointed in him. The Barabbases of the world would have been disappointed in Jesus. This change that they were expecting him to spearhead, to do, well, it didn't happen, and it just ended up kind of dying, and what they thought was the end of it. Of course, it wasn't, because he rose again. But it must have looked to those people looking for that kind of change on that day that it just wasn't going to happen. And that Jesus, well, he hadn't delivered the goods in the way that they'd hoped that he would. But Jesus did come to effect change. But the change was in the hearts and minds of individual people. You're different after you've met Jesus to before you've met him. If the before is there and the Jesus is here and the after is there, on that journey, there's a change. You can see it with the shepherds. It says they were full of fear, weren't they, in the beginning? And fear, and then that's turned into joy and rejoicing. That's a change that Jesus made to those inner guys on that night. And actually, you find it elsewhere. If you go to John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 19, I'll read it to you. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came among them and said, "Peace be with you." That's before. We go now to after. So we go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter, who's one of the ones in that room, locked up. Then Peter stood up with the 11, that's all the rest of them, raised his voice, so he's shouting from the rooftops, and addressed the crowds, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." And then we're told in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You take a photograph of Peter before and one of after, and you wouldn't see the difference. But in that journey of meeting Jesus, something changed on the inside. Can I argue that through that, maybe the world's changed? Before and after. From hiding out of fear to proclaiming in the open air, out of faith. Jesus changes us. And actually, we could continue through the pages of Scripture and out through the centuries of history and witness change after change in million upon million of men and women, their lives. People changed on the inside by the God who changes us from the inside out. But here's the thing. It only takes a few people to change on the inside. It only takes a few to start changing on the inside before that change starts affecting the world around them. And if enough people change, I put it to you that we will start to live in a changed world. So perhaps those people all those centuries ago who were disappointed that Jesus hadn't brought the kind of changed political, social change that they were looking for, perhaps they got it wrong. And perhaps if they'd have lived long enough and bumped into William Wilberforce, they might not have been so disappointed. Christmas is a time for change. You want to see a changed world? You want to see a changed Bristol? You want to see a changed workplace? Do you want to see a changed church? Do you want there to be more peace and more joy in those places? More peace and more joy in the world? More peace and more joy in Bristol? More peace and more joy in your workplace? More peace and more joy in your church? I'd like to see more peace and more joy in this church. Where does that change start if that's what I would like to see? Can anyone answer that question for me this morning? If I want to see more peace and more joy in my church, where must that change start? It's me, isn't it? It's got to start with me. The onus has to be on me. Change starts here. with the inner person of Bob. That's where the change starts. That's the real deal. I believe that what I have to show is the willingness and the openness, and then Jesus makes the change. It's not a DIY religion. We don't do it ourselves. We open ourselves humbly to the Spirit of God to change us. And then He does the stuff that needs to be done. So Christmas is a time for change. Here are the three questions that I've been challenged by myself and I challenge you with. Do you think that something needs to change in the space, in the world that makes your world? Do you think that? The second question is, what would have to happen in order for that change to take place? That's the second question. And the third question is this: are you willing for that change to start in you? And there you have it. Let's pray, shall we?